But we want you to turn a couple places. If you would, put your finger in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Those who's listening, for those of you who follow us on Facebook, I wanted to announce again, you can find us on YouTube. I know some people's getting pretty disgusted with Facebook and other social media. And just go to Jordan Baptist Church in Burnside, Kentucky, and you'll find us there. So if you're doing away with Facebook and you want to, and you're out there listening to us each week, and there are several people that does that, you're more than welcome to find us there. Hopefully, we're hoping and praying that someone somehow will come up with a conservative social media outlet that we can get on it as well, and that we can hopefully be able to send the word out on it. I'd like to send the word out on all of them. I know it'll probably be a matter of time till some of them try to take you down for something you say, and but you know that's something that between them and God. Before I get into this, I will say this. Brother Junior was talking this morning that he'd kind of done away with his news. And he was a lot more peaceful about it because it got him all disturbed. I'd like to say I've done the same, but I haven't. But I don't watch it much because it does bother me when I see what's going on. I did watch a little bit of the impeachment, and I just want to share a thought. As I was looking, and of course saw the other attempt at impeaching President Trump, I hadn't changed my mind. I thought, what a circus. What a disgrace. I thought we've got very few statesmen in our government anymore. Most of them are embarrassment. They're not only embarrassment, but they're a bunch of hypocrites. As they tried to impeach him over something he said, and when you watch the video, it's clear. And by the way, I watched him make the speech, and I knew he didn't say it. And it was obvious he hadn't said what they claimed. They'd edited the tape to make it appear a lot worse than what it actually was, and it appeared like they tried to make him appear like he was trying to encourage everybody to go in and do violence, even though many of them had encouraged others to do violence. That's beside the point. But he also, they turned it around, the defense did, and they showed them their words, using the same exact words that they were saying that Trump was guilty of using. Then they went and they fell back on this idea that it's not what you say, it's who says it. And you know, we've gotten this nation anymore where some people can say anything they want to, do anything they want to, and they seem to get a pass. Others, they will try to condemn, they'll try to close your business down. I noticed that even the attorney that represented him, they had went and they'd marked up his driveway and tried to harass him and threaten his family and different things like that. Now they were threatening to try to shut his business down as an attorney. And I've watched this administration, and I wonder why they either have such dislike for this country or why they have sold this country out. Just a few couple weeks since they've been in, they've already opened the gate to allow people in to flood this country. They're already the first act, the first day, was to shut people's livelihoods down. It may be all right, it may not affect you when all you've done is live off the government all your life and your children have made themselves filthy rich off deals. But I got thinking about that, you know, we talk about, and I really believe that I am a pre-tribulationist. I believe that we, the saints of God, will be taken out before the tribulation. But, and some people said, boy, I'm glad I'm not going to have to go through all that. Me too. But we don't know what we may have to go through before the tribulation. You know, when I study 39 and 38, the chapters 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, the Bible's got countries aligned that brings war. Obviously, the one from the north comes down upon Israel, which would be Russia. It also predicts that there would be hundreds of thousands come over from the east, which would probably be China. And we have a government that's flip-flopped from the last administration. Now they want to build up our enemies again. I just don't get it. But I wonder what's going to happen if they try to weaken us and all of a sudden it's time for those battles to start happening. What would happen with our country and what would happen with us if we had to live through those invasions? And of course, if Russia comes down upon Israel, as predicted, the Bible said they're going to have another intent, but God's going to put a hook in their jaw and bring them down upon the nation of Israel for finances, for riches. And of course, then the king of the east is going to come over, and there are going to be some complications there. But we would be right in the midst of that. And we don't know exactly what would take place. And I said all that to say this. Folks, we can't depend upon our country. I love my country. I want to support my country. I would die for my country. But we don't know what may happen. We don't know when things may happen. But I know this, that we've got a lot of foolish people that makes a lot of foolish decisions that is absolutely destroying the foundations that this country was set upon. Tonight, or this morning, I want to read about landmarks. And I want to preach and I want to share with you a thought. Look, if you would, in chapter 22, keep your finger Jeremiah 6.
I don't know if I told you to go to 22 Proverbs. Turn over to chapter 22 of Proverbs.
Did I already have you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Does my intent count for anything? I intended on having you there. Look, if you would, in chapter 22, in verse number 28. It says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Look on over, you would, in chapter 23, in verse 10. Again, he reminds us, remove not the old landmark. I used to survey, turn if you would in Jeremiah chapter 6. I used to survey. And we would go out and we would have to find landmarks. Sometimes we would be called out to an old farm and the deeds would call for a stone sitting here, or an old tree sitting here, or a fence post sitting here, and those things would have been moved. And there would be no landmarks. And I've seen neighbors, if you want to call them that, fixing to kill each other over that far space, trying to figure out where their corner goes. And so, in the Old Testament as well, when you moved a landmark that was set, they'd kill you. You'd die. This morning I want you to think, and then I want to preach upon a couple of things that we find here. But I was thinking about this country. I was thinking about our Congress. how far they moved the landmarks. When I read of our forefathers, the first Congress, the first president, when I read of Supreme Court in 1789 that was founded, they have so moved so many landmarks. And I want to preach about the most important landmark that our fathers set that they have moved. But I want to say this before I do. In our lifetime, or my lifetime, there's three very important Supreme Court rulings. One is in 1962 when they ruled that it was unconstitutional to require the kids to have prayer or follow you in prayer and Bible reading in school. 1973, Roe versus Wade. They determined that a baby in the womb was no longer a baby and that it would be okay to take the life of a human being in the womb. And then in 2015, they recognized same-sex marriage and upheld it. I want to say this before I get into the message. The Supreme Court is the highest court in our land. But there are some things they can't change. Number one, they can't change God. God is still God. He's God yesterday, today, and forever. No laws that they make will change who God is. No laws that the Congress will pass will change the fact that God is God. Even if they don't recognize Him, He is still God, and someday they will recognize Him. Also, we find that the Word of God is not going to change. It's forever settled in heaven. They might ignore it. They might make laws against it. But the Word of God abideth forever. Amen. Not only that, but marriage is defined by God. It will never change. A woman was made for a man. Never was a man made for a man, nor a woman for a woman. It's abomination. It was. It still is. God's never declared something He declared to be an abomination okay. And they might pass a law, but they will never change the fact that God has already defined marriage. They will not change the fact that God has already defined when life begins. If you get into the Old Testament and read, you'll find that when they harmed a baby in the womb, they had to pay with their life because a life for a life. God declares it a life. Regardless of what they pass, it's still alive.
Right.
It will never cease being alive.
Amen.
It is alive, and when someone takes that life, they will be responsible to God.
Amen.
Not only that, but sin is sin. And they can call all kinds of different names, and they can make all kinds of little characters around certain things, but it's still sin.
Right.
As Brother Eric was talking about these Ten Commandments, they're still commandments, not suggestions. They're commandments. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death, and it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The Supreme Court can't change the fact, nor can the Congress change the fact, that men will die because of their sin, and they will face a holy, just God in judgment. Not only that, they cannot change the fact that lost souls still die and go to hell. And they cannot change the fact that the value of a soul is worth more than any job, any materialism that America can produce. The most important thing that we can give our citizens of the United States is eternal life. Their soul is more valuable than if they possess the whole world. And we've got a bunch of covetousness people, and they think money is it, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and they have sold themselves out for money. But money is not the answer for everything. And they cannot change the fact that Jesus is coming. Nor can they change the fact that God has done put his plan down. He's done got his plan made. And America and all other countries will fall right in place with just exactly when and what God wants to happen to those countries. They are a drop in the bucket to God. He can do with them what he wants to. And he can take one down as quick as he brought one up. And we must say he has completely blessed and truly blessed America. Now turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 6. And God is fixing a judgment upon Judah. And, of course, Jerusalem and the tribes that made Jerusalem and the southern kingdom was Benjamin and Judah. Verse number 1, he tells them that they are to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet. The trumpet was being blown as a warning. Need to be warned. Not only that, but if you notice, he says on down that evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. The Chaldeans was going to come down upon the nation of Israel. God was going to let this happen, and he was going to allow them to destroy his beloved city. Don't think that any nation is beyond the reproof of God. Any nation that turns from God will be turned from into hell. Any nation that sin is a reproach to any nation. And even though our Congress and our Supreme Courts may allow some of these things, they cannot keep the judgments of God from coming down upon this nation if those things continue on. So here we have Jerusalem and Judea. And in verse 2 he says that he's likened the daughter of Zion, likened to a comely and delicate woman. In other words, when it come time to this army coming upon them, they'll be like a bunch of feminine women. And by the way, if a man don't know whether to wear pants or a dress, I don't really care for him protecting me. I don't want somebody walking out there that wants to smack somebody. If I'm going to have to hit somebody, I'm going to hit them and put them down. I want somebody who can fight. Amen? Says the shepherds in verse 3, the shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her and pitch their tents. Now when you study this out, what it means is people that don't live there are going to come into the community and just make it their home with no rights to it. And they're going to come in and they're just going to take possession. Foreigners. Somebody said, are you against immigration? Absolutely not. I think it's great. My forefathers came here by immigration. Your forefathers came here by immigration. I think it's great. But I think there's a legal way and an illegal way. And when you come here illegally, you ought to be treated illegally. Not only that, but notice if you would in verse 4, he says, woe unto us. When God lets it happen, there'll be woes. The Bible says in the last part of verse 6 that the city is to be visited. She's wholly oppressed in the midst of her. Why? Verse 7. Because of the wickedness and violence and spoil in her. Notice if you would in verse 10. Jeremiah said, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. Uncircumcised means that their ear is not able and capable of being separated to hear God's warnings. You preach messages trying to warn what's happening in our nation, and you will be found in the minority. And you will be cast aside. If they can do anything to you, they will try to quieten you down. He says, behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. I can tell you why our Congress and why the Supreme Court and all of them have gone away from this thing. Because it's a reproach to them. They're trying to ignore it. They're trying to forget it. And to be honest with you, most of them hates it. And so therefore, the Bible says in verse 11, therefore I am full of fury of the Lord, I am weary. The children on down and upon the assembly of young men, the husband and the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. The sins of this country is affecting everybody. Our children. I think it's a shame that a bunch of them can go on vacation wherever they want to go on vacation, teachers, and they can't show up at school and teach the children. I think it's a shame what they're doing. And some of the governors and some of the bigwigs, they make all these rules for everybody, and they're shutting businesses down and destroying people's livelihood, and yet you find them sneaking out to restaurants other places and going out and enjoying their life. It's a shame, disgrace. And they ought to vote them out of office. And I hope they get every one of them out. Amen. Look on. This is not a political message, in case you thought it was going to be. It's just a political introduction. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. What would happen if tomorrow we woke up and our government had got so big that they just started taking things away from us? You say, that can never happen. That's what socialism is. And I tell you what, we're right on the brink of socialism. Look on, verse 11. Therefore, I am full of fury. No, let me skip on down, verse 13. From the least of them, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Our problem is covetousness. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus began to quote some of these commandments. All of them I've done from my youth up. Then he said, go sell what you got and give the poor. And he went away sorrowful. The love of money. People in this country is thinking that money is the answer for everything. But it's not. And as we give ourselves over to money, and to be honest with you, that's what's wrong and what's corrupted Washington is this. When our forefathers got together and formed this great nation, it cost them something to be in the Congress and government. Many of them had to sacrifice their living. They had to go, even preachers. They would go places and they would preach. And sometimes they'd live off of eggs, a slice of bacon, a ham when someone killed a hog. They'd live off this and that and the other. Now we've got them in this country, got 4 and 5 jet planes and got millions, a millionaire, $15-20 million houses gathered around the lands. Filthy rich, billionaires. God never intended no such thing. And that's why so many people are hearing a gospel that is so tainted, corrupted. And we're destroying our landmarks. Not only that, but the Bible says in verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is what? Everybody said, everything's good. How ignorant can you be? Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all. I know someone in the administration of this current administration. He wears a dress. What a shame and disgrace. I can just imagine. The Bible says, neither could they blush. You have all of them promoting and declaring the greatness when this is the first homosexual that hold this office, first one hold this office, first one hold this office, first one do this, first one do that. And we've got them full. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for old paths. Where is a good way and walk therein, and ye shall find rest, what? For your souls. And they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. What he says is this. He says, what I've done is this. I've likened it to a traveler. A traveler gets here and he's got several different directions he can go. Now you need to decide which way you're going to go. And God says to go and take the old paths. The landmarks that have been set that made this nation great. It's a shame what we've done. And I could just imagine if what was going on right now was going on when this nation was founded, I'll tell you what they would have done. They took a bunch of people out and shot them and hung them. They would have. They said this kind of wickedness and evil destroy a country. In the scriptures, the first two chapters of Genesis, we have 11 times God said. The greatest foundation this country has is a foundation of the Word of God. And I want to share with you this just a moment about the foundation and the dangers of moving this foundation. Chapter 3 of Genesis was the first time that we ever had the Word of God questioned. And who did it? The devil. Anytime that you question the Word of God, anytime that you try to replace the Word of God, it's always evil and wicked. As a matter of fact, it's so wicked and evil that if you read Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, if you add anything to this book of prophecy, God shall add to you the plagues that's written therein. And if you take anything away from the words of this prophecy, God will take your name out of the book of life. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's how important the Word of God is to God. He don't want you messing with it. And so when we find this, when we find people attacking the Word of God, we found what happened when people attacked the Word of God. Satan attacked it and caused Eve to be deceived and caused Adam to sin. And knows what happened? With man, it was devastating. We still suffer because of it. The landmark of Scripture is the most important landmark of this country is because the foundation of our faith is in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith, turn if you would to 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Second Timothy chapter number 3. I've heard some people say, oh, preacher, we don't have the regular manuscripts. That's true, we don't. But notice if you would in verse 14. The Bible says, but continue thou in the things which I have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. On the what?
What? The Holy Scripture.
Which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me let you in on a secret about Timothy. He didn't have the original manuscripts either. God has preserved his word. And I believe from the depths of my heart that the King James Bible is a preserved word for English-speaking people.
Amen, that's right.
And I believe anybody that varies away from that is endangering themselves and others.
Amen, that's right.
Somebody said, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter because things that are different can't be the same.
That's right.
Now notice this, if you would, in verse number 16. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. God breathed it. And God moved upon people to keep his word alive and keep it beneficial to all of us. And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The landmark of the scripture is paramount because it tells us what God expects of us. It tells us what's right. It tells us what's wrong. It tells us what will benefit us. It tells us what will destroy us. And therefore, we have the inspired word of God. And it's given to us. And it's most important. Because through that, we can find our faith. Now that is the final authority. In Psalms 11:3, it says, if foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nothing else can replace this book. There's not another book that can replace this book. Now, I've seen some people that treated the notes at the bottom of their Bible as inspired. Listen, each of us may have different study Bibles. Those study Bibles has notes, and those notes are written by men. It's their opinion through their study and their wisdom, hopefully, and hopefully they're good notes, but they're not inspired. The Word of God is inspired.
Amen.
That's what we do. We are to study the Word.
Amen.
Amen? We're not to take something because somebody says it. I don't want you to believe it because I say it. I want you to go home and study it for yourself.
Amen.
And I want you to rightfully divide the Word of truth for you and for your children. Now, so we have the landmark of the Word of God. It's the final authority. When it's all over with, Jesus said this. He said, I came not to destroy the world, but the word that I've spoke, it shall judge the world. He said, the word that I've spoke, it shall judge you in the last day. These books will be open. When you stand before God, these books will be open. You'll be judged out of the book. Not out of what people says is okay, but what God says. And so therefore, the only thing that can help you is this. Nothing else can replace, nor replace, the Word of God. Somebody said, well, so-and-so, he knows the future. No, he don't. Only the book knows the future. God knows the future. That God be true and all men liars. Amen. Now, not only that, but we also found in the landmark of Scripture, guess what we find? God. In the beginning, right off the bat. Somebody said, if you can't believe the first four words of the Bible, you'll never believe the rest of it. In the beginning, God. Amen. Who made us? God. Who created the heavens and earth? God. Where do we come from? God. Who knows all things? God. Who is all sovereign? God. Amen. This book lets us learn who God is. Amen. Not only that, but in this book, this landmark of Scriptures, we also find our sinfulness. From Adam all the way down, we have been passed, and each one of us sinned, and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We need to be saved. And we can only be saved by the grace of God through the salvation that He's provided. And by the way, in this book, this landmark of Scriptures, it's where we find our Savior. It's the only Savior for America. It's the only Savior for you. It's the only Savior for your children. There's nothing more that can be taught to your children any more important than this book. In it, they will find Jesus. In it, they'll find salvation provided by God's love through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. In it, they'll find the way that they are to be saved. When we leave the Bible, I tell you what, when our schools no longer teach it, our homes no longer teach it. I remember I used to go over to my grandmother and grandfather, Miller's. Every night before we go to bed, I'd stay all night with them quite often. Every night before we go to bed, Papa would gather us around a lamp. He'd get his Bible, and he'd read. And we would read and we would pray. At church, used to you come, you know what to expect. Used to you come expecting to hear preaching. And preaching is not always, it's not always going to tickle your ear. Sometimes it's going to cut you like a sharp two-edged sword. But even now, many churches have turned into entertainment, has turned into playing games and so forth, and they don't even hear the Word of God there.
That's right. I don't know.
Can I ask you this? Where are they going to find a Savior?
Amen.
How are they going to learn about God? So therefore, not only that, but in the Scripture, it's where we find our security. Thank God Jesus told us that we have been put in the hand of God and no man's able to pluck us out of His hand. I'm so thankful. And not only that, through the security that we have, I thank God that we have the promises that He has given us through His Word. Now, what we need to understand is we need to understand that God, this country was founded upon this great landmark. Used to, it wasn't long ago, when someone said they were a Christian, you knew exactly who and what they were. You pretty well knew what they believed. They believed this book. They believed in coming to church. They believed in raising their children. They believed in trying to live right. Anymore, when somebody claims to be Christian, you don't know what they believe. But people have so defiled the landmark and moved it. But folks, the greatest landmark we've got, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. This is what made America great. 92% of the Constitution was taken directly or indirectly from the Word of God. Why has God blessed America? Because of this landmark. And my friend, even if America as a whole leaves the landmark, each of you have been given a decision to make. You're traveling this life, and one of these days you're going to die. I hate to break that to you. Brother Jim tell you that. We all die sometime, don't we? He studied medicine a little bit. He understands. We're all going to die. And look here. And after death, the judgment. But God has given you many paths. There is a wide, broad road leading to destruction. But there's an old path. The world hates it. But in that old path, you will find Jesus, that He is the only way to heaven. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. You will find that that is salvation, that's your security. But you must make that decision. And every person here has to decide what he's going to do with this foundation. Are you going to remove it? Or are you going to treasure the foundation that your fathers have left you? There's a lot of things. Listen, as Brother Eric was saying, my old flesh, I fail this thing sometimes, many times. But I don't ever question it because I believe the Bible is perfect. Amen. Without error. Amen. When someone's wrong, when I don't agree with the Bible, where are you putting the Bible in your life? Has this replaced this? What if Jesus came today? Are you ready? This is the greatest document that this country needs. And if you don't know Christ this morning, I would pray that you would come and receive Him. Let's stand. And by the way, let me say this too while you're standing. I've had preachers tell me, I never talked to them about voting. Let me tell you how you vote. Can I tell you how you vote? With this book and the Holy Ghost. And if you'll vote with this book and the Holy Ghost, I won't have to tell you nothing else. Amen? Let's sing. Are you here this morning and God's dealing your heart? Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe there's something else. But folks, there's no doubt about it that God's people need to be crying out to God and asking Him to heal our land. We have left the old landmark and removed it. How we need this landmark put back. Amen. Let's sing, brother.